When we pick up this series, I Am, we are in John chapter number 8. Let's review just a little bit because it's been a couple weeks since we've been together here. We know that in John chapter 8, the events of this passage take place in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's about 6 months before the crucifixion of Jesus. In this particular passage, Jesus is in discussion with the Pharisees, one of the religious sects there, the Pharisees. Now, in the previous verses, in the first part of chapter 8, Jesus has proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." Powerful proclamation in which he made. Now, as the conversation continues, Jesus moves forward from that, and now he moves to the subject of freedom. And so John chapter 8, remember, this is all one discourse. So even though it's been a few weeks since we've been there, "I am the light of the world," they're kind of going back and forth with him, and he continues on. That's where we pick it up. And I'll go back to verse 30, the last part of that, because it's important as we make this transition into verse number 31. And it says, "As he was saying these things, 'I am the light of the world,' many believed in him." So he is having a discussion with the Pharisees, but there are many of the Jewish people, because it is the feast, there are many people around, there are crowds around him. They are able to hear what is taking place. And as he speaks to them and talks to them, he also uses this moment for the crowds to hear as well the words in which he proclaims. Verse 31. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" How many of us tonight want to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ? Amen. Man, I want to live in his freedom. Then verse 33, notice the pronoun, "They answered him." Now, in studying this out, I believe this is where we have that transition. He is no longer now really speaking to those who believed, but now we're back in this discourse with the Pharisees. "They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?'" How can a man such as Jesus make such a statement to us? Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Anytime you see the word "truly, truly" repetitive, that is Jesus saying, it's emphatic, saying, "Listen up, for what I'm about to speak is life-changing. I am speaking the truth." So he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Well, they answered him, because that was an intriguing statement that he makes. "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." And they said to him, "Well, we were not born out of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." So they are really, at this point in time, boiling on the inside for him to say to them that Abraham is not their father. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies." Boy, how do you think that's going over? Let's not pull any punches as we share the truth here. Which one of you, he says, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Verse 46, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Well, now the Jews, they respond. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and that you have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, he's been trying to tell him for the last 8 chapters. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glories me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and he was glad. What does he mean by that? If you go back and study the Old Testament, you see the relationship Abraham with God. He had the vision within him that he knew that God had a plan to restore the nation, that God had a plan to bring forgiveness, that God had a plan to bring salvation, that God had a plan. He may not have saw the vision as everything that was going on here, you know, as clearly as what we're seeing right now, but he saw the vision clearly in the spiritual realm of what God would do and how God would send his son. Your father Abraham rejoiced because of that. Verse 57, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, there's the title of our series here, I am. And isn't it cool how we've been there the last Sunday and tonight, and just God's been putting that in our hearts, in this church's heart, to focus on the great I am. I just thought about that all day today. I was like, wow, God, coming out of Sunday into tonight, you just keep bringing that home to us. Kuwait Assembly needs to hear that. They need to hear that, that the great I am, he is the one who lives inside of us. He is the one that has the ultimate control. He is the one that pours out his blessing and his mercy and his grace and his goodness and the power of his Holy Spirit. He's the one who changes our lives, who sets us free, the one who gives us a daily peace that nothing else in this world could possibly give. The great I am, the one who calms the storm. He can speak to our spiritual lives. He can speak to the physical realm. He can speak to anything and everything, and it will obey his word because he is the great I am. I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. In other words, it wasn't his time, and so he was able, you know, in a way that Jesus can, get out of that situation. So again, as we think about this tonight, we have to remember the setting, the Feast of the Tabernacles, that week-long festival in which they were celebrating. They are celebrating, literally, God's provision, protection, and divine guidance as he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. That's what they're celebrating. They're celebrating that God provided and God protected them as they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Pastor Cody made reference. They came out of that. Joshua then leads them into the promised land. That's what they are celebrating. And it was certainly fitting for them to do so. But we see here that as they celebrated what God did with their ancestors, they could not see their own bondage and the true freedom that was before them if they wanted to reach out and embrace it. Again, this particular discourse is between Jesus and these Pharisees, but it serves as a strong lesson for all of us, for all of us who want to live in true freedom, to be true followers of Christ, and to be identified as true children of God. And so the light of the world right here, he's illuminating what a life of true spiritual freedom entails for those who would hear, believe, and receive it. So as we look at this and break this down just a little bit tonight, the first thing I would give you as Jesus is talking about living in spiritual freedom is one, true freedom comes to true followers of Christ. In church, we see this here. It's kind of like Sunday. God's word is not baffling. It is not hard to understand in moments like this. No one will experience true spiritual freedom without a personal and a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where true freedom comes from. Jesus makes it clear of what such a relationship looks like. Verse 31, so Jesus said to him who had believed in him, he turned to all the many who had accepted him as Lord and Savior. He said then, if you abide in my words, then you will truly be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, Jesus directs this statement to the many who had heard him say, I'm the light of the world. They'd been hearing his heart. They'd been hearing his proclamation that he is God, that he is equal with God. And they chose to believe in him. So he turns to them and he says that, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. And that is a truth that every believer should hold close to their heart. And a truth that every single one of us should walk in daily, because there's such power in that statement. You see, belief is the beginning of your relationship with Christ, while abiding in is the maturing part that's going to give you the evidence of true salvation. So there's the belief, then there's the abiding. Many people want the belief part, but they fail to embrace the abiding part. Just believing doesn't set you free. Believing sets you in position to start living a free life in Christ. That freedom's going to come as you start to abide in Christ and who he is. Now, abide is translated from the Greek word meno. I believe it's pronounced menyo. Meaning to stay in, to continue in, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. Abiding in the word is the action of faithfulness and obedience in the believer's life. Now, John, he speaks much on the importance and the value of abiding in Christ. You will see this. This is a common theme in his writings. When we get to John chapter 15, you will see in verse number 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I abide in his character. I abide in his moral standard. I abide not in a law to save me, but I abide in his word and how to live and the things of God, the nature of God. And as I do so, my relationship with the Lord, of course, it will flourish. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, John writes, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. 1 John chapter 2, you go on down to verse number 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. You go into the second letter of John, verse number 9. There's just one chapter, so it's verse 9. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Those are some important words for the New Testament church. I hear way too many people, I'm a New Testament believer. So, you know, I don't really go with the whole words commandment. I don't really go with the whole things of law or things of that. He goes, I'm going to just stick with grace in the Lord. Can I tell you, we are saved by grace. But as we get in that maturing walk with the Lord, our life begins to change because we are abiding in him in that relationship. Saved by grace and being made righteous in Christ is made evident by abiding in him. Faithfulness and obedience, not birthed out of guilt and duty, but out of genuine and grateful love. That's abiding in him. With abiding in the word comes knowing the word. Faithfulness and obedience produces a greater knowledge and a greater understanding. Now, once this all begins to take place, what it means to live in freedom really begins to take hold. I want you to look back. Look at the three key ingredients of experiencing and living in true spiritual freedom. Belief, abiding in God's word and knowing the truth. Look at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, believe first. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth. And that truth will set you free. So look at those three things. I'm going to believe. I'm going to start abiding in the word of God. The more I abide, the more I know him, the greater my wisdom, the greater my understanding, the greater in wisdom and understanding I have as a follower of Jesus Christ, the greater the freedom that I will walk in. How many years did this old boy from Muldrow, Oklahoma, not walk in freedom because I based my relationship with Christ off of duty? I based it off of duty. I based it off of fear. I based it off of getting something wrong. But as I began to abide in the Word of God, as I began to abide what the Holy Spirit was doing inside of my life, I began to understand I am saved by grace. There's nothing I can do to earn my way into heaven. There's nothing I can do to make myself righteous. The more I understood who Jesus was and the mercy that he had shown in my life, the more that I wanted to experience that love, the more I experienced that love and studied that love and grew in that love, I understood what a mind of peace and freedom truly felt like. My relationship with Christ is based on his mercy that he's shown me, the love that he has given me, that sacrificial love, and the way that he has poured out his unlimited resources upon my life. I am saved because he loves me, and I want to worship him because I love him. I want to serve him because I love him. I want to be obedient because he's got the best interest for my life. There's nothing about that out of duty or responsibility or worrying about getting it wrong. I want to focus on getting it right and walking in his love and in his light and his grace and in his goodness. Amen? The more you begin to understand those things, the more freedom you truly have in your life. Too many Christians walking in bondage because they don't understand what true freedom is. Christ has set them free. They just haven't reached out and grabbed and embraced that freedom. Belief plus abiding in God's word plus knowing the truth, that's what equals freedom. Again, how many are still walking in? I hope no one here is walking in bondage tonight as a believer. Because it's not because Christ hasn't set you free. It's because of the lack of abiding in him and not knowing his truth. Too many Christians bound by certain things of this world. And it's not because Christ hasn't set them free. It's just because they haven't laid down those things that have bound them. You know what I mean? It's like walking around in chains that are no longer bound to you. Any addiction that you have upon your life, you're like, oh, I'm bound by this and I can't overcome it. If you would just realize those chains, the locks to those chains have been broken. And the only reason they're tied around you is because you're holding them tied around you. And if you just wake up and see that all you got to do is just let go of them, they're going to fall loose because why? Jesus has already set you free. I hope you understand that analogy. To me, why do they do that? Because that's all they've known, that addiction. And as much as they don't want it, they think that they have to have it. As much as they don't want to go there, they think it's a part of their life. And it's really kind of come their little comfy blanket that they wear upon them. And what they really need to do is just say, hey, no more, because Christ has set me free from all this stuff. Why would you walk in the same lifestyle you did before Christ after Christ has set you free? Why go back to bondage? Why go back to fear? Why go back to hatred? Why go back to anything that wants to hold you back? Why not say, you know what? Yes, I'm still maybe having to learn how to get out of all of that, but it no longer controls me because I am not a slave to sin. I have no fear to sin. I don't worry about that because my focus is on what Christ has done in my life. I want to be a true disciple of him. And as I am, I'm going to be set free as I know him more and more and more. Believers walking in freedom, they understand. They understand their relationship with God. Now, nowhere in this church does this make us perfect. It just means that we understand who God is and what he's wanting to do in our lives. And we're not going to walk in the guilt of man. We're going to walk in the freedom of Jesus. Second thing, true followers of Christ know the family in which they belong. Now, in a spiritual sense, which Jesus is speaking of here, there are two families on this earth. Two families. Those who are of a family of God and those who aren't. Two families. Those in God's family know him as their heavenly father, while those who are not, in the words of Christ, have Satan as theirs. Now that'll tick a lot of people off. Yes, it's a bold and pointed statement that Jesus makes to the religious leaders. but it was a statement that they needed. For his words weren't ever just words to be speaking. There was life, there was power, there was freedom, and there was conviction in every word. Without such bold and pointed truth, without such bold and pointed truth being spoken into our lives today, people will continue in attempting to deceive themselves and others as they redefine truth to accommodate their understanding and lifestyle in which they desire. I have to be cautious sometimes and step back and just really pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, because I know my response may not be healthy because it's going to be more of Steve than it is that spiritual man inside of me. But I get a little bit tired of people trying to make the Word of God accommodating to their lives and to the lifestyle that they want to live. Why are our kids in such confusion? Because Because not enough parents and people are stepping up and speaking the truth of God's word. Too many gray areas, too many gray zones, too many things that we're afraid to go there because of what is being placed in front of us through media. Well, if I say something, my kids might put me in that category, and I don't want to be in that category. I don't want to be in that negative category. I don't want to be in that hypocritical category. Or I don't want to be in that category where people think that we're just blind to what reality is and the truth is. You know what I'm talking about, right? Too many people don't want to say that. And can I tell you, Jesus shows us something here. When the truth needs to be spoken, then speak it. It may hurt sometimes, but thank God, because the truth will hurt sometimes, but that truth will set us free. Remember that. That truth will set us free. Children of God will reflect the nature of their Heavenly Father as they continue to walk with Him, while those outside of God's family, they will reflect the nature of theirs, which is Satan, Jesus says. Now, Jesus, He does give detail in this chapter of what the family outside of God looks like. You can see them there in the verses before you. Look at these characteristics of being children of Satan. One, they would not give place within their life to the Word of God. Verse 37. They gave no place in their life for the Word of God. Now, they deliberately gave no place. But that makes me think, how many of us are walking in a pretty, maybe difficult place because we're not given God's Word the place that it needs to be in our lives? Two, let these speak to you. They hated Christ, they opposed Him, and they sought to kill Him in verse number 40. Verse 42, they did not love Christ. Verse 43, they did not understand or want to hear the truth of Christ. Verse 43 will tell us. And in verse 44, they reflected Satan's desires in rejecting the truth and being liars. It is certainly a sad reality when people such as this are so deceived that they cannot even see the desperate need in their own lives and feel the emptiness of a life without Christ. Verse 33 here in Scripture, the Pharisees said, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that we will become free?" Now think about this moment, because they're not thinking right now. They are very incredibly wise individuals. They are very well educated. They know their history. Again, remember the setting. They are celebrating the feast. A feast in which they were being set free. From what? From bondage. But they don't want to hear what's been spoken in their lives. So they're very reactive. So they say, "Hey, we're the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone." Really, you've never been in bondage. Had they not been slaves to Egypt? What about the enslavements by seven mighty nations that are recorded in the book of Judges? What about the 10 northern tribes that have been taken captive by Assyria? What about the two southern tribes that have been taken captive by Babylon? And what about their current condition of being under the rule of Rome? You step back and I'm just wondering if Jesus wanted to say, "What? You've never been enslaved by anyone? You've been enslaved your entire lives. generation after generation after generation. And now Jesus has come to change all that to truly set you free. One is certainly in trouble if this type of rebellion and deception and pride becomes their bondage. I mean, that really will speak to you. Hopefully, we will never get to that place. But before we're too hard on those guys, we've probably been there. Well, we thought we were speaking it right. You know, someone, maybe one of your brothers or sisters was trying to reel you in back into that relationship with Christ. And you're like, how dare they? How dare they speak to me like that? I can do what I want. You know, I'm not a child. Well, you are. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. They needed to hear it, but even in hearing it, they still rejected it. Spiritual bondage, I believe, is a choice, just as is the spiritual family that you choose to belong to. Let's look at the third thing. True followers of Christ know and give honor to the great I am. Let's finish with that tonight. As the conversation moved forward, the Pharisees continued to reveal their true nature. Now they start to spout off mockery and insults. Did you catch that? You know, they already said foolishly, we've not been enslaved by anyone. And now they say to him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and a demon? Now we know when they use the word Samaritan, it's basically cursing at Jesus, because that's what they felt. You are as low can get. You don't even really deserve to be a people. You're something other than that. And you have a demon. Saying he's scum, saying he's the lowliest of all people. And on top of that, he's demon-possessed. They could not prove false what Jesus was saying. So they did what they knew best. They unloaded a personal attack on his identity. How many times do we see that today in our world, in our circle? I'm talking about in our Quita circle, in our Broken Arrow circle. How many times do we see that played out on national media? Well, if we can't really find the truth, we're just going to unload on each other. And we're just going to say what we want to say anyway, because we want to be right and we don't care what the truth is. Those who act as though they believe in and honor God but do not honor Jesus with their words and with their lifestyle, they're blinded and they're bound by Satan's deception. And these Pharisees fell there. They fell there. True followers of Christ, because this is who we want to be, right? And I believe we are. We hope we are. We have confidence that we are in Christ. True followers of Christ, they know him. They know he is God's own son. They know that he is God. He is equal with God. They know he is Lord. They know he is Savior. And they certainly know that he is the one, the only great I am. For Jesus to say this was again to give testimony to them that he was equal with God. I love it. You Samaritan, you're demon possessed. And Jesus, in his spiritual character, just simply responds, I am. Say what you want to say. I am. I want you to think about that thought. Whenever the world and Satan and whatever tactics he's using against you and speaking against you, you remember who's living inside of you. I am. And I am doesn't care what everybody else is saying. And I am doesn't care what Satan is doing and all of his tactics and all that deception and all that junk. What he cares about is you know him as the I am inside of you. Remember the words of God spoke to Moses as he was calling and preparing him to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage. If you go back with me into that story, because again, they're celebrating this time. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And this is when God was really trying to get Moses to step up to the plate. You can do this. Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. In the same manner, to the Pharisees and all who were there listening, Jesus is saying, because that statement means, I am Jehovah God. I am who I am. I am the one who exists. I am the one who is. Simply stated, I am. For the Pharisees, this was very offensive to them. Again, because he set himself up as God, because he was God. He is God. This was punishable by death. That's why they picked up the stones. That's why Pastor Terry was telling us, you know, that story. They were going to stone him. For the true followers of Christ, they understood this. And they give honor to him as such. And because they choose to do so, they have passed from spiritual death to living a life in Christ. Because when Christ was telling them that you won't see death or taste death, he wasn't talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. John chapter 5, verse 23. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He's talking spiritual life. I would simply ask you tonight, do you know Jesus as the great I am? Is he the great I am of your life, of your circumstances, of your needs, of your desires, of your hearts? Because if you know him in such a manner, let me tell you, you're standing on a foundation that though the storms may come and the rains may fall and the winds may beat against the walls of your home, and even though the earth begins to shake, and even though all the stuff is going on around you and it seems like chaos is breaking loose, if you know Jesus as the great I am, at the end of all of that, you'll still be standing strong with the great I am.